Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 47th video for the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll study the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. Both pronunciations are acceptable, and I really don't wish to argue which is better. First, the background issues. The author is named Habakkuk, but we're not told anything else about him. Now, we can infer that this book was written near the end of the southern kingdom Judah. So Habakkuk was probably a contemporary of Jeremiah. And the reason this book was written is Judah's apostasy and the imminent threat of the Babylonian invasion. Now let's look at the organization of Habakkuk. The outline of this book is mostly a back and forth conversation between the prophet and God himself. First, Habakkuk asks his first question. He basically says, God, how can you let Judah be so bad? They are sinful and idolatrous. How can you allow it? And then is God's first response to Habakkuk's first question. He says, in essence, don't worry, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians to punish Judah. And then this causes Habakkuk's second question, which I'm paraphrasing, is basically, what? How can you do that? Babylon is even worse than Judah. How could you use them? What in the world are you doing? Which brings up God's second response, which is, don't worry. I will punish Babylon in due time. It will work out in the end. But in the meantime, you need to trust me. And then finally, Habakkuk ends with a prayer. And the essence of Habakkuk's prayer is, okay, God, you are awesome, and I will trust you no matter what. Okay, now let's examine the content by looking at a few key verses. First key verse is chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, which says, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Now this passage is Habakkuk's response to God's first response that he will use Babylon. Did you catch all that? In other words, this is Habakkuk's second response. Habakkuk does not understand how God can use Babylon. He complains, God, you're too pure to have anything to do with them. He complains that the Babylonians are more wicked than the people that they defeat. Now, can you see his point? Do you understand the problem he has with God's response? And do you also see how this is like issues that we can experience in our everyday lives as well? Oftentimes, we don't understand how God can do or how God can allow some of the things that happen. God, why is this happening? What in the world? How can you do that? And that's basically Habakkuk's expression here. And next is chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Now, this passage is the end of Habakkuk's second question and the beginning of God's second response. Habakkuk says, basically, I'm gonna wait until I get God's answer. And God's answer is to, okay, first make a permanent record of this revelation, because it will come to pass, even though you might have to wait for it. And then God acknowledges, yes, Babylon is proud and unrighteous, but he says, the righteous will live by faith. That is, the good guys must trust God no matter what. Then is chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this passage is a very hopeful promise that God's glory will fill the earth, that the entire planet will know experientially that he is Yahweh, to the same extent that the ocean is full of water. Now, just in case you live in the Midwest and never seen the ocean, there's a lot of water. Humongous amount of water in the sea. In other words, he's exaggerating, saying in overabundant terms, the knowledge of God's glory will completely permeate all of creation by the time that God is through with his plan and his mission. He has promised, and it will come true. They will know that he is Yahweh. And next is chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now, this passage is near the end of God's second response. God has just rebuked any hint of idolatry. You know, don't go there. And by contrast, he reminds that he rules from his temple as the final authority over all. Babylon is not the final authority. God is. And therefore, all need to respect him and stand in silent awe before him. Don't be afraid of Babylon. Don't be afraid of those that the best they can do is kill the body. But stand in awe of God. Then finally is chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. And it says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now this passage is near the end of Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3. He has come to the settled conclusion that no matter what happens, he will trust and rejoice in God, his Savior. And that is a good attitude for all of us to adopt as well. Because often, we don't really understand what's going on in our world. But in all circumstances, God is still God. So in this sense, the message of Habakkuk is somewhat similar to the message of Job. Even when we don't understand, God is trustworthy. Therefore, trust in him. Now, let's look at the themes of Habakkuk. The first theme is sovereignty. That is, God is in control of the world, even when we're not. Even when circumstances seem to be completely out of control. Even when we don't understand what is going on, God still knows. And God is still in control. God never fumbles. And then the second theme is related to the first, and it is trust God. And that is our reasonable response to God's sovereignty. When we don't understand, God is trustworthy. Trust in him. When things get totally crazy, God is still trustworthy. Trust in him. Trust God no matter what, because God has proven himself to be worthy of our faith. Period. So now let's review. First, let's review the organization of Habakkuk. And that is question and answer, round 1, question and answer, round 2, and prayer. And let's review the theological themes. And they are sovereignty and trust God. Okay, that's our survey of the book of Habakkuk. And I hope you found it both enlightening and encouraging. And I recommend that you process through what difference this should make in your own worldview and your lifestyle. And you prepare yourself what you're going to do when life gets crazy, because it likely will. Now, in the next section, we're going to proceed with the next book of the Minor Prophets, the book of Zephaniah. Thanks for watching.